Well, hello there, and welcome to the County Conversation, a podcast featuring employees and subject matter experts in the Fairfax County government, discussing programs, services, and items of interest to residents of Fairfax County. I'm your host, Jim Person, and on this edition of the conversation, I'm chatting with Dana Johnson, Behavioral Health Manager in the Youth and Family Division of the Fairfax Falls Church Community Services Board, or CSB, which we'll be calling them today. We're going to hear about the CSB, as well as two specific programs in her division, Youth Medication-Assisted Treatment and Community-Based Site Services. So, Dana, thanks for being here on the podcast with us.
Good morning.
A lot of mouth-twisting words there, programs we've got to talk about. Before we get started, mention CSB, Community Services Board. We hear CSB all the time. Do people really understand what Community Service Board is? So tell us about that.
So Virginia has a really lovely system of services. And so there are 40 community services boards throughout Virginia. So anywhere in Virginia that you live, you are living in a catchment area for a CSB. CSB provides really safety net services for community members that need an array of supports, including mental health services, substance abuse services, other developmental disability services. And if you go into your community services board, they'll also help link you with other sorts of supports, like maybe health insurance or food benefits.
Okay.
So our local community services board is the Fairfax Falls Church Community Services Board.
Okay. All right. So physical location, online, how would someone connect with the CSB if they're wanting services?
So you can connect online. You can also walk into the Sharon Bulova Center, which used to be called Merrifield. A lot of people still call it that.
Right, right.
And you can walk in there Monday through Friday, regular business hours, and you can be seen by emergency services if you're in a crisis, or you can have an assessment by, we call it entry and referral. It's our front door. Mm. You can walk in there and speak to somebody, and they will help you complete an assessment, link you with appropriate services. Maybe if you're looking for something that our CSB is not going to offer, they'll give you a list of community resources.
Hmm. Okay. So you mentioned something your CSB might not offer. So what does Fairfax Falls Church Community Service Board offer? You know, that kind of thing. Without going too deep, I mean,
Right. If somebody is really in a crisis, they can be evaluated by emergency services. And emergency services is at the Sharon Bulova Center. They're open 24/7.
Oh.
And that would be if somebody needs a high level of care, like maybe a hospitalization for a mental health crisis.
Mm.
Lower levels of care would be case management services, therapy services. We provide developmental disability services. It really depends on what the need is. We have different areas, different divisions that provide different services.
Mm. So mental health issues, even substance abuse issues, a lot of times have, you know, kind of a stigma around that. How do CSB work with clients, residents, others to kind of get over that kind of ick feeling about services you provide?
I think our community services board does a great job in advocating and outreach the community to really destigmatize the different issues that people might be struggling with.
Right.
And I don't want to jump ahead of our conversation, but that's one reason that the community-based programs that we opened up in 2024 are so thoughtful, in that the places people are going to get these behavioral health services aren't your traditional like therapy sites or doctor's offices. These programming is embedded in our local community centers.
Okay.
So when people are going to a community center to play basketball or do an arts and crafts group, they can just go down the hallway and meet with their psychiatrist or their therapist.
Wow.
So it really shifts that perspective of maybe going into an old-fashioned type of setting where you're going to see your doctor and your therapist.
Gotcha.
We're really trying to be creative in how we are embedding the services, not just for the access, right? It's easier access to go into your community center to see your therapist.
Right.
But it's also not going to have that same stigma as if you're walking into this building to meet with a bunch of different professionals.
Right. Well, while we're on this track, let's just kind of keep on going with community services then. So if I heard you correctly, your community center, you said every community center in Fairfax County has
Or, I mean, talk to me about that, because you made it sound like you could just walk into your community center and you could be treated.
That's a great clarifying question. So in 2023, the community was really advocating for more supports and services for youth experiencing fentanyl overdose. And so as a response to that, Fairfax County used heat maps to identify the areas in Fairfax County that had the greatest need of these sorts of supports. And they came up with three areas. One of them is in Herndon, one of them is in Falls Church, and one of them is in Alexandria. So the heat maps showed us these areas needed the most behavioral health services. And in those areas, they identified the neighborhood community services. Their acronym is NCS. We identified the NCS sites in those three areas, and CSB partnered with NCS, which has been a brilliant partnership. I have to give kudos to NCS. And they said, okay, here are our three sites in these areas. And they gave us, I want to say office spaces, but these really aren't offices as you imagine them. One of our offices.
We're putting up our air quotes here, by the way.
One of our offices at the James Lee Community Center in Falls Church is, it shares like a window area with a basketball court. So it's like if there are kids are playing basketball in there, if you're using the office, you have the headset on because it's so loud. But it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And so NCS gave us sites in those three areas that were identified by our heat mapping.
A couple of questions I want to ask. I find it interesting you're using heat mapping technology, essentially. Any other technology stuff y'all are using to either identify or treat or anything like that?
I'm not sure about the technology side, but I know we get a lot of our data from the health department. So we're looking at our trends coupled with their data. And another partnership that we've really leaned into in the last few years around the opiate issues has been with Inova. And so we have a quarterly meeting with Inova and the health department, and we share all our data. And then it informs how we're building out services so we can identify what the barriers might be, so we can really create a barrier-free entrance into these services.
So what is a barrier?
That's a good question. A barrier would be transportation. If you have a 16-year-old that is experiencing issues with fentanyl and would like to get them into a YMAT clinic for medication, and you don't have a car, and maybe it's three different bus rides to get there, and it's going to take 3 hours on the bus to get there, that's a huge barrier.
You mentioned YMAT, which is the Youth Medication Assistant Treatment. We'll get to that in a minute, kind of our second part of our conversation. I think you touched on this, but tell me and us again why having these services embedded locally is so important for the community.
Sure. So CSB has several traditional sites for therapy services, and so I'm going to use the Herndon Neighborhood Resource Center site is the example. So we have a great site called Northwest Center in Reston, where people can come in and see their psychiatrist and their therapist and attend groups and so forth. Herndon's not that far. It's maybe 5 minutes down the road. But what we've seen is most of the youth that are coming to our Herndon site for services are walking to us. We're right there in the neighborhood. We're at the strip mall where there's a lot of activity. And many of those families would not be able to get over to Reston often enough to make it meaningful treatment.
So maybe that's an area, going back to technology or something like that. I don't know how you could use that and that data you've already gathered to then provide better services or more efficient services or locate the services where it's more, I'm going to use the word attractive, but I don't know if that's the right word, maybe appropriate or whatever. So, I mean, is that stuff that's ongoing? How do you work on that?
I think accessibility is a issue, and we've made great progress since 2020, where a lot of our services can be telehealth. Now, what we find with a lot of the families that are receiving services at the community-based sites, they might not have smartphones. So it's really helpful to be able to do telehealth if you have somebody that has a smartphone, they can participate in that way. So really, in these areas, identifying to the lack of resources around things that may not normally be a barrier is going to be in these instances.
You mentioned the Herndon Resource Center, I think you said it was.
Herndon Neighborhood Resource Center. That is the NCS site that they've provided for us to provide services for.
So one of three, like, satellite sites, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay, in the community. Want to make sure we cover the Sharon Bulova Center, or Merrifield, as you said it used to be called. Talk to me a little bit about what's there and maybe the address and how folks can get there and what they would find when they get there. And if you don't know the address, that's fine.
It's on Willow Oaks Corporate Drive, but I'm not sure of the street number.
That's fine, yeah.
Sharon Bulova Center really has so many of our CSB programs. And on the fourth floor is ANOVA programming. We also have Neighborhood Community Health, I think on the third floor, which is a primary care health provider that will work with our families that either don't have insurance or really don't have the resource to pay for a primary care doctor. We have emergency services, entry and referral, so many programs that are there. We have adult services, youth services. And if I started to list the programs, I would leave more out than I would include. But that really is our hub.
Yeah, okay. So I guess the easiest way to do is just go to fairfaxcounty.gov and search for Community Services Board or the program in particular that you're looking for. Is that the best way?
Yes. Another great way would be to call our call center.
Okay. Go ahead and give that number if you will.
That number would be online as well. I don't have it off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
The call center is a sister program to Entry and Referral, and you can call there Monday through Friday, regular business hours, and any number of questions they would be able to either answer or transfer you over to who would have that information.
Okay. Awesome. All right. We are on the County Conversation Podcast talking with Dana Johnson, Behavioral Health Manager with Fairfax Falls Church Community Services Board, and we're talking about community services. Anything else in the community services specific area before we get into the YMAT or Youth Medication Assisted Treatment Program?
No, I think somebody coming into the system would most benefit from knowing about entry and referral, or if they're in a crisis emergency services.
Okay. All right. So just go to fairfaxcounty.gov and search Community Services Board, and you'll find the whole lot more information there about all the programs and telephone numbers, etc. All right. So you referenced the acronym earlier, YMAT, Youth Medication Assisted Treatment. What exactly is that?
So medication assisted treatment is medications that treat addiction. And the CSB was really planful in applying for the Opiate Abatement Authority funds to be able to start this program. And so this funding comes from the settlement, from the opiate abatement, and specifically is earmarked for treating opiate disorders.
Okay.
And so any youth, we started out treating 12-year-olds to 18-year-olds.
Okay.
We recently expanded up to the age 22.
Okay, I was going to ask about age since you mentioned youth.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a recent expansion going up to age 22 that has a primary diagnosis of opiate use, is able to come on in and we'll do an assessment. Our lead psychiatrist determines what medications to prescribe. We might prescribe Suboxone. We might prescribe Naltrexone or Vivitrol. And coupled with the medications can treat acute withdrawal. They can treat cravings ongoing for somebody who's abstaining from using substances. We also offer individual therapy, group therapy, more recently, family supports and family group therapy, and care coordination, which is one thing we're able to do with YMAT, with the opiate abatement funding, is we will cab the kids to their appointments.
I'm sorry, what?
We will cab the kids to their appointments.
Them, okay.
So that takes away one of the barriers.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said cab, so sorry about that. My bad. What makes YMAT different than, air quote, any other program out there dealing with the same thing?
Yeah. Our YMAT program really is laser focused on preventing opiate overdose. And so we start from that point, from that harm reduction point. And some of the kids come to us and they may not want to be sober. Maybe they still want to use marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And we are meeting the kids where they're at to reduce the harm, to reduce the risk. And the longer they stay with us, a lot of them will end up wanting to do therapy. We have, I have to talk a little bit about the peer support staff that we have in our program. So peer support are staff that have lived experience that can identify in recovery from any number of behavioral health diagnoses. And a lot of times the kids come in, they don't want to talk to the doctor, they don't want to talk to the therapist. But the peer support makes that relationship and really gets people to hang in there with us long enough to really see, maybe they do want to do therapy.
Yeah.
A lot of these kids have had a lot of friends that have died from opiate overdose. It's a lot of trauma for a young person. And our therapist, our lead therapist right now, does a lot of EMDR with our kids when they do therapy. EMDR is a trauma-informed specific therapeutic model. And so our lead therapist right now is really creating this whole trauma trap embedded in our program. And I think those things make us a little bit different than a lot of medication-assisted treatments that you'll see. They do the meds. And that's important. That's the most important
piece. That's all they do.
That's all they do.
Yeah.
And that's important to reduce the harm. And But then what else, right? What does recovery look like? It looks more than just taking a medication and not using.
Right.
People are still going to be in their neighborhoods around people they used to use with. What do they do? What skill do they have?
Right.
All those other clinical therapeutic pieces that we offer in YMAT are going to help somebody be able to stay on track, build on their recovery.
And again, YMAT, we're talking about Youth Medication Assisted Treatment Program. So young person and their family are going to go into the YMAT. Walk me through what they can experience as they enter the program.
So once somebody is going to come to our clinic, we'll usually do our assessment. There's a lot of paperwork that goes along with getting into program.
Yeah, there always.
Yes. And so we really try to make it as painless as possible to go through the paperwork process. And so we have a care clinic coordinator, we have the therapist and the prescriber. We also have nurses in our program. And so we really try to get the family in and do all that paperwork and move through that more quickly, have them do all the clinical assessments with the person they'll be working with so they don't have to tell their story over and over again. And then the family and the youth will meet with our prescriber and talk about medication options. And she'll determine what would be the best medication. Suboxone, we only prescribe to 16 and 17-year-olds. So if somebody's younger than that coming into the clinic, she's going to look at naltrexone or Vivitrol.
Any positive outcome, success stories or anything you are able to share at this point in time?
Yeah, so we've had people in our clinic stay in services on their meds for a long period of time, several of them, that then say, okay, well, I kind of want to get off the meds now. Like, okay, so we work with them. Our doctor can help taper them slowly off the medications, and then we can keep them in services to support them in recovery. And then we're also right there if they need us. If they have cravings, we can put them back on the medications. If they relapse, we're right there with them to help them. And I think that's a success story when you have somebody so stable for so long that they're kind of outgrowing the program in a way.
Yeah, well, that's what you want.
And if they choose to get back on the medicine, that's a great outcome too, right? Because then they learned, how is this helping me? Actually, it was helping me with the cravings quite a bit. So we've had a lot of young adults successfully complete treatment with us and go off to college.
Just popped in my mind, are there eligibility requirements or cost associated with the YMAT program?
That's a good question. So you, at this point, need to be a Fairfax County resident. You come into services. And when we first bring them in, another area of paperwork is we have our admin support, you open up a case for them, look at if they have health insurance, look at their income levels, and then we charge based on income, which is what Community Services Board does. So if somebody really is uninsured and has a very, very low income, that will be reflected in what they're charged.
Anything I am not smart enough to know about YMAT that I haven't asked you about that you want to make sure we talk about?
That's a great question.
Or the community services.
You know, I think it's, I think it's really amazing that in Fairfax County, right, the first 2 years after COVID, the community really did advocate that we needed the services for the kids. And Laverne Williams, who's the division director of Youth and Family, wrote a lot of proposals to get all these different programs off the ground. And within 1 year of those proposals being approved, we have all these programs running, coupled with looking at the data. So that the community saying we needed these services we were seeing a lot of kids in the emergency room with opiate overdose.
Wow.
And in the last 2 years, we've seen that number plummet. And so it's exciting to see these critical services make an impact. Some of these kids that would have been in the emergency room are
or
with
dead.
Us. Yeah. Or dead. Yeah. Yeah. Or right. And so it's also great to be able to expand this new program. Yeah. So I mentioned earlier, originally we were just working with 12 to 18-year-olds, and now we've gone up to 22-year-olds. And we've opened up our second clinic last year at the Jerry Highland Center in Alexandria, which is near one of our community center sites as well. So we're really growing it in a way that's meaningful and responding in real time to the community need. And that's really exciting.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Some expansions already. I was going to ask you, you know, some success here. What's to come in the future for CSB? Other programs or anything like that? Anything you can talk about right now?
Well, we are working right now on being able to open up our YMAT services to the Region 2 CSBs.
Okay, and Region 2 is?
That's a good question. So I mentioned the 40 CSBs we have across Virginia.
Right.
In those 40s, there's 5 different regions, so clusters of CSBs that are near each other. So our Region 2 has Fairfax CSB, Arlington, Alexandria, Loudoun County, and Prince William County.
Oh, okay.
And so
beyond Fairfax County. Yeah. Wow, okay.
And so those 5 CSB make up Region 2, and our leadership is working with Region 2 CSB leadership to figure out all those details that we need to figure out to open up YMAT to all the kids in Region 2.
Wow, that'd be awesome.
It will be awesome. It's a lot of systems coming together and then figuring out those little areas of, oh, we got to figure that out before
we
unroll this. So, yeah, I think that'll be very exciting to be able to offer that to the new gen.
So, I feel like we've only scratched the surface on everything we could talk about. I'm going to, as I always do, I try to give the guest the final word. So, final word today from CSB, from you, Dana. What do you want us to know, Ruben?
I really appreciate the opportunity to get the word out about this program because all of our YMAT clinic, and we also have AMC, which is the adult side of CSB. They prescribe the same medications to older adults. To get the word out that this exists, I think is really helpful for families that may have somebody struggling with opiate addiction, and they really don't even know that there's medications out there that can help.
Yeah.
So I appreciate, that's my word. I appreciate the opportunity to get the word out.
Yeah.
There is help out there.
Yeah. So if you want more information, just go to fairfaxcounty.gov and search community service board or opioid treatment or any of those kind of keywords, and it should come up. And maybe we can ask our listeners to do a favor and share this information with someone they know to help get the word out as well. Dana, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Enjoyed the conversation. That's going to do it for this edition of the County Conversation. Thanks to Dana for being here. Thanks to you for joining us. If you want to hear more conversations with Fairfax County's finest, be sure to follow us on soundcloud.com/Fairfax County, as well as our podcast webpage, fairfaxcounty.gov/podcast. The County Conversation is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.